Okay. Good morning. I'm going to start off with a question for you. What is your family legacy? Something for you to ponder, a rhetorical question. Well, I deliver some examples of how God has changed people's lives through his grace. This morning, I want to share with you some simple objectives of the Gideon's International and testimonials of those who have been impacted by ministries through the distribution of the testaments. We'll begin with a short video for the birthday of Jesus as an opening prayer, and then also an opening prayer. After the opening prayer, I'll go into some testimonies. The first one will be of Judy Cassidy. Okay, Noah, the video, please. Thank you, Noah. Let us bow our head for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the time you've brought us together in your house where we can lift up your word and praises to you, Father. I pray, Father, that you would be with me throughout the service, that I'd only bring forth those words that you'd want me to say. I pray that you would be with those who are listening, that they too could gather much from your word, Father, from examples of testimonies that the Gideons have impacted. I pray, Father, that you'd guide and direct throughout the day. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, our first testimony is one from Judy Cassidy. Like many of you, Judy Cassidy was born and raised on a farm. She had three siblings. They were raised in the Amarillo, Texas area. She remembers as a little girl of helping her daddy deliver a litter of piglets. This was a very big thing for an 8-year-old. Being there with daddy, she was daddy's little girl. As life went on, She became a delivery nurse. While in nursing school, she met Martha. Martha had a heavy influence on her and guided and directed her. Martha invited her to a nursing Christian worship fellowship meeting. After the first years, the nurses had a capping ceremony where they don't wear them anymore. But back at that time, they had the white caps that they wore. Celebrating their first year of greatly anticipated workload at the hospital. At the end of the ceremony, a Gideon auxiliary distributed small white nursing Bibles, very similar to this little brown one. Judy was unaware that it was a Bible. She really didn't connect the fact that it was a Bible because back home on the farm when she was a little girl, they were unchurched. They didn't know and hadn't been told. So Martha made Judy very aware that it was a Bible. Judy was very appreciative. Martha had also told Judy to bring the little Bible along with her to their Christian meeting that they would be having with the other nurses. Judy had read some of the scriptures. And days later, her and her husband were invited to with some family members and friends to a church service. Judy asked Christ into her heart and life during this church service. And Judy wrote the date in the back of her small white Gideon Bible. Judy's husband had become a Christian a few days prior and then continued to attend church. Time had passed. She got a call from her mother. Her brother, Billy, was really having some serious issues. Billy was much younger and was still home on the farm. Farm work was hard. And because of the busyness of the farm, Billy shouldn't have been getting in trouble. But he was. He had access to the car, to alcohol, and friends, and it was causing him some serious issues. His mother was very unaware of Judy's plan. A new Christian herself armed herself with her small white Gideon Bible. Judy set to work. Her target, her brother Billy. Judy shared the gospel of Christ with Billy and accepted Christ as his Savior. He later went to live with Judy and her husband, but the rule at their house was, you're attending church. At church, Judy introduced Billy to a girl she knew. This girl wasn't just any girl. It was Martha's daughter. Someone that Judy had known for many years throughout her college career. Billy went on to marry this young girl and surrendered his life to the ministry after hearing a message preached about Peter denying that he knew Jesus. A very well-known story in the Bible. Judy volunteers at a pregnancy crisis center where she met and witnessed to a young mother who wanted to end her life and the life of her child. Judy gave this young, desperate mother a small white Gideon Bible in which she had placed the date of her salvation on the inside of the cover. See, this little Gideon Bible was something that was very special to her, that she had held close to her over the years and had carried with her since her salvation. But this young woman was very desperate, looking for answers herself. This young woman turns her life over to Christ. Since 1899, the Gideon objective has to win others to Christ through helping Christian men strengthen their personal testimonies and increase their influence for Christ in their homes, workplaces, and churches. The Gideon Auxiliary, the wives of many of those, the Gideons, who have joined the Gideon ministry, assist in the distribution of God's word to individuals. These distributions can involve, but not limit to, placing Bibles in hotel rooms, hospitals, nursing homes, schools, colleges, prisons, police and fire stations, and to the military personnel. Gideon International is currently organized in over 200 countries, territories, and possessions. The Gideon Testament is published in over 100 languages, can be produced for roughly $1.56 per copy, and currently contains a language app, and an individual can access from their electronic devices, where they can get in and find a language that they speak, and the Bible can then be in their language through their phone app. One by one, Judy's family became Christians. Over time, grandchildren and great-grandchildren became Christians. This one small white Bible, a nursing Bible from the Gideon Auxiliary, was the tool God used to change the legacy of once an unchurched farm family. What is your family legacy? Continue to ponder the question as a tremendous legacy unfolds in this next testimony by Pastor Todd Bureau. Todd grew up in Southern California. He was, as one would expect in a California area, a lifeguard on the beach. He became a Christian when he was 18 or 19 years old. While working on the beach, Todd became familiar with a homeless man named Walter. Walter was approaching on his bicycle and was very excited to see Todd. He had just been to a revival where some men in suits handed him two orange Bibles. They said, "You could give one to a friend." Well, he did. Todd was the recipient. Todd was the friend. Todd was appreciative, shook his hand, thanked him for the little Bible, but later placed it in a box, long to be forgotten. Time had passed, and Todd had moved north, a little farther into the state. Became a teacher at a Christian school and also a youth pastor. But he was having some difficulty because he felt his Christian walk was at a low. He was talking to a friend, and a friend suggested something that just seemed to be out of the ordinary. He said to Todd, "How about if you combined your walk with the Lord and your passion for running?" Todd pondered it for a while and decided, "Yeah, That was going to be something he would try. So he was living close to the mountains and decided that he was going to run to God as he ran the mountain. He found a specific spot he would run to at about 3 miles up. During his run, he felt more connected to God and decided to take a Bible along, but couldn't think of one that would be suitable. But then it came to mind, after all that time, the little orange Bible that Walter had given to him, that he had received from a revival meeting. He took the little orange Bible along with marker, a highlighter, and a pen. He put it in a Ziploc bag and took it along with him as he ran his 3 miles to a special spot on the mountain. Now, on that special spot, there was a bench where he could sit and read and ponder God's word. After many trips, he decided to bury his Bible there under the bench in the dirt. And him, as he would run, and he would retrieve it each time he went there. Because it wasn't just something that he was reading. It was becoming his journal, his place where he put his prayer list, his thoughts, things that were happening in his life. And he had wrote in there, in the bindings of his Bible, that he was becoming a father. This was a very major milestone to him, along with many of the other things that he had written about his life in his little testament that he had placed there in the dirt that he could review and go back to each time when he had his run, which was a few times each week. This went on for about 2.5 years. And one day, his Bible was gone. Somebody had been there prior to his last visit, dug up his Bible, and took it with them. He was devastated. He was angry. He tried to replace it by getting another from a Gideon, but it went as a failed attempt. He decided that maybe if he went a different route, maybe if he found a new place to run, he could get rid of the anger. It didn't help. He relocates even farther north. 10 years had passed, and he received a call from a man named Hector. After all those years, this man had called to inquire with Todd, was this the Bible that Todd had had all those years ago? The man said, I have your Bible. Todd kind of leans back a bit and, I have my Bibles. He goes, no, not the Bibles that you have in front of you, but your little orange Bible. Todd was excited. Todd was very excited. But how did Hector get it? He went on to explain that his father had received the Bible from a cellmate while in the state prison. The cellmate would read the highlights that Todd had made along with the notes. So many years before, he would witness to Hector's father, the cellmate, as he read. Hector's father asked Jesus into his heart as a result of the notations that were being read that Todd had written in his orange Bible. The inmate left the orange Bible behind, and Hector's father began weekly Bible studies in the prison. Hector's father got out of jail and then passed away and left the little Bible to Hector. Hector became a Christian as well. He passed the Bible on to his own son, who also asked Jesus into his heart. Hector told Todd he could have the Bible back. But somehow, he didn't want it back. Not yet. He told Hector he could keep it. This time from a man in another part. Todd told Hector he could keep it. He wasn't ready to have it back. 3 more years had passed. Todd received another call. This time from a man in another part of the state. Again, the man says on the other end of the phone, "I have your Bible." Todd, "My orange Bible? How did you get my Bible?" Again, completely puzzled on how this Bible's getting everywhere. The man said there's like 5 different names written in the front of it. The man had said he had questions to ask Todd, and he went on to ask them, such as, "Who is God? Is he worth following after?" The man continues to inquire about God, about the notes Todd had written in the margins, and about Todd's son. Remember, so many years ago, he found out that he was going to be a father. His son is now 21. Many years have passed, and the Bible is just being distributed throughout the state. Todd asks if he knew about the Gideons. The man noted the name on the front of the little Bible, thinking it was the name of the person who purchased it, not understanding that it was an organization. And he inquired about who Mr. Gideon was. Now, in the present time, Todd is a Gideon and passes out Bibles in the local schools in his area. Where is your Bible? Is it buried in the dust in a box, very much like Todd's little orange one for so many years? Or wedged between the retired books in your home library? Seek it out. Find the legacy printed on its pages. The video that was shown earlier really reminded us of the wonderful legacy that God has left for us. Create a godly legacy in your own family. Do your children see you reading from God's word? Do they hear you praying? Certainly something to think about. As I close with a final testimony, I want you to continue to ponder the question, what is your family legacy? But also ponder, who is listening to your prayers? One last testimony will tie into that. In October of 2020, Kent Erb, a Gideon, was accompanying a fellow Gideon presenting Gideon Bibles to the students at a school. When he noticed the teacher tentatively listening from the hallway, Ken entered the hallway to speak with a teacher whose name was Sherry. Opening the Gideon Bible to the back page, he began to read scripture to Sherry. As they read through the scriptures about being a new creature in Christ, Sherry's heart changed. They prayed the prayer of salvation. Focused on prayer, Kent and Sherry were unaware that Sherry's students had departed from the classroom and encircled them in the hallway. Sherry's students had witnessed their teacher giving her heart to Christ through prayer of salvation. Who's listening to your prayers? Christian students through in-school peer-to-peer distributions can reach their classmates for Christ using a little life book, such as this one. A program which has been facilitated by church youth pastors since 2010. Has over 29 million copies printed in two versions. Either the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Mark, and printed in an attractive booklet. Adults through prayer for the distribution of scriptures, through Friends of Gideon's and through monetary donations, can also help Gideon spread God's word. You can also donate scriptures anytime through sending Gideon cards. These are used in memory of a friend or family member, or they could be sent to your pastor as a thank you or appreciation. And sent a donation to the Gideons. And there's a display of them that back in the back of the sanctuary. This is a unique and memorable way to touch thousands of lives with God's word through a simple greeting card. You can find the display, as I said, in the back of the sanctuary, but you can also find them on the website. I want to have a special thanks to Pastor Miller and you here at the Pleasant Ridge Church of the Brethren to permit me to come and give an update for the Gideon's International. Thank you for your time.